Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, as you know, it's Christmas here. We're in the process of our 15th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas Benefit. And so far, we've raised $36,938. Praise God. In money, gifts, and gift cards. And then I have two more gifts to buy for Christ Haven. I've bought all the Six Flags tickets, and I bought all the Hawaiian Falls. That was like $6,500 worth of stuff. But anyway, now Grace has contacted me. Grace is, what is Grace?
Grapevine.
No, it's not Grapevine.
Yes, it is.
No, I know it's Grapevine, but it's Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange.
Yes.
I think that's what it's called.
Well,
they have their Christmas cottage, and we help them every year, and normally I spend about $30,000 for them. They need mainly things for teens. They need large flat irons, curling irons, cologne, perfume, big makeup sets, large nail polish sets, twin and full bedding, Bluetooth headphones, not speakers, fleece PJ bottoms for the teens, both boys and girls, board games, no candy land or chutes and ladders, Nerf toys all ages, drones all ages, VTech educational toys, hoodie sweatshirts for teens, Fisher-Price toys, remote control cars, boats or helicopters, Star Wars, anything, Legos of all kinds, teen luggage, science kits, irons, and then they have family gifts. The way they do it, they have 700 children usually and 2,700 families, and they let the family come in there and they give them, it's like a certificate that says they have so many points, and so they can go by in the room, they can go buy different things for so many points. It's really neat if you ever want to go there. It's in Grapevine at the corner of Main Street in Dallas. And they go, like, say they want to go get something, they have several kids, and they go get a toy for each kid, and then they allow them to have one family gift. One. And so towels were a big thing, but that's not on our list this year. They have irons, blenders, small magic bullets, toaster ovens, pots and pans, large tool sets, electric griddles and skillets, 8-piece dish sets, George Foreman grills, and small microwave ovens. And they want to thank, they said, our families have been so blessed by the church's generosity and thoughtful donations. So they're at 815 South Main. So we want to help them, obviously, because they need help. And then also, I talked to Justin Community Closet in Justin this week. And we gave them toys for the first time 3 years ago. They never had new toys. They always had broken toys. So we gave them new toys 3 years ago, and that started a tradition here. Of course, I do get toys from Dallas Children's Charities. And last year they gave me 499 toys, and we gave at least half of them to them, and we also bought more for them. And this year I'm asking for 1,000 toys, so I'm believing God's going to let me have those. So she said they gave away 330 on Christmas Day, and their Christmas Day this year is the day before our program. So I only have 5 weeks. 5 weeks to go buy for all these people, and also their Salvation Army that I'll talk about too. She said they gave away 336 toys to 79 families last year, and she said, I'm sure we can use many or more this year, and they always need this same thing every year, and we always buy it for them. They need boys and girls toddler clothes, 18 and 24 months, and they need boys and girls size 2, 3, 4, and 5, pants and tops. These sizes are always in demand, and their gifting date will be Sunday, December the 11th, and she says, we are so appreciated. Well, our party is December the 12th, and then Grace starts their giving December the 8th to the 22nd, and then Salvation Army, their giving day is December 17th. And I talked to them, and they're getting their list together, and they also need a lot of things for the teens. So there are several things you can do here if you want to help. We have Paul Sue, who has brought two cakes, one of them sold, is that correct? So there's one sour cream pound cake, and if you haven't tried Paul Sue's cakes, they're the bomb. And so there's one more in the kitchen. And then Grace, right here, you brought three?
I had two
orders.
Two orders from last week, and I've got one next week.
Okay, she makes her grandma's homemade banana pudding from scratch with farm fresh eggs. And I can tell you that Thurman ate one by himself. He loves it. So I'm telling you, it's really good. It is. And so she took orders. So two of them are already called for, but she has one left. So if you want to get it, then go in there and get it. And then we have Dr. Solomon's children, the girls. Is it both two girls or all three of the girls? Why don't the girls just stand up so they see them? The girls have a business, and it's here. There they are right there. And those are quadruplets back there, by the way. They have a brother. And I can't remember all the girls' names, but there they are. And they have hair clips, beautiful hair clips for $1 and $2, and they're in here on the end of the table. So Sarah's already gone in there and gotten she and Evelyn one. So y'all be sure and get what you want. And then also Dee. Is Dee here?
No, she's not here.
She's not here. Okay. Dee's got, there's a set of embroidered tea towels in there, and then that other thing. What's that?
Pillowcases.
No, she doesn't have pillowcases.
The Gamma Wicking.
Gamma Wicking?
Candle Wicking.
I don't even know what a candle wicking is.
Well, it's an art.
It's an art. Okay. Well, she's got one in there. So there's things in there. Whatever you get, then put on your envelope that children or Christmas on it and put your cash and stick it in the box. If you're going to give anything as far as a check, be sure you notate on your check that it's Christmas or children. You know, last year, we, as you can see on the sheet, we raised $110,007. Is that what we did? And we gave to 4,606 children and 370, I think it was, families. It's a great thing to help these people because these people, in some ways, are helpless. And, you know, as we talk all the time, God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he says if you give to him, if you loan to him, you know, to the poor, it's like loaning to God. And so we're helping the poor is what we're doing. These people that are graced, they've had catastrophic things happen to them. Their house is burned down. They've lost a job. They've lost a loved one. Whatever it is, they have bad stories too. Of course, at Christ Heaven, they're all foster kids, and they have terrible stories, and you don't even want to hear those. They're just awful. And so you just don't know what you're doing from the heart to help these people. At Justin Community Closet, they have 3,000 people that go through there every month. And the reason that was started was at the Justin Elementary School, there were children without clothes. Okay, well, if you don't have any clothes, that's not very good, or shoes. And they started that, and of course it's grown, and they blessed so many people. And then at Salvation Army, you know, there's all kinds of people there. The people that are not able to give Christmas to their children sign up at Salvation Army. That's what they do. And last year we even helped, there were so many adults, I can't remember, was it 15 that we helped? I think there were some 15 adults at Salvation Army that they had nothing for. And at the last minute we went out and bought, and they were very large, size 4, size 5, XL, very large people. We went out and did some special things, and some people helped me do some special things to get it to those people. So, you know, I just can't say enough about when you do something for others, you're going to be blessed. You know, it's just the way it is. And so I ask from your heart, if you would help us, we would love for you to help us and love for you to receive a blessing this Christmas or in all the time.
Praise
God
the Lord.
God bless you.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Oh, I forgot, I have lists. If anybody wants a list of the Grace or Justin, I have lists.
Okay, she has lists if you need a copy of the list. Okay, before we get started today, I want to know, is there any testimonies? Okay, right here, the hand goes up right here. Start off with, come up here and let's see what Jack's got going on here as far as testimonies are concerned. He's been off for a while, so we'll see what God's been doing.
Welcome from the state of South Carolina.
Oh, wow, praise the Lord.
I want to tell a couple of things. Thurman has told this story about the first time I met Thurman after the church, and he prayed a prayer and removed the fiery dart of the enemy from my back. And within a trip from here to the car, it was in another building, but the pain was gone. But today I'm going to tell you the rest of the story that I don't know that Thurman knows this or doesn't usually share it. In addition to the pain, I had a numbness down my arm, and these two fingers were numb. And for the medically trained, that we all know that's the ulnar nerve. Now, Thurman's instructions to me was to go forth and praise the Lord. And I did that. So the pain was gone, but periodically the numbness would come back. And so the devil or the Lord was giving me ample opportunity to lose my healing. And so I would consciously, when I felt that numbness, start praising God. And within a very short time, like 10 seconds, it would be gone. It might be gone for 5, 6, 8 hours a day or two. And so then it got to be a contest, because this was, of course, doctors think we know, but we have opinions. If our opinion was any good, it wouldn't have been healed. So, but doctors tell you that it can't, spinal nerve comes out at between the 5th and the 6th vertebra. And so, you know, it doesn't take much to move your neck like a quarter of an inch, and that could have been the problem, okay? So when I would feel that numbness, I would consciously keep my body, my skeletal system, absolutely stiff, wouldn't change it. And then I would pray, and then it would go away. So it wasn't that I was moving some difference. Now, that's just the rest of the story. So I've got another little praise report. I do a little business just to the west in the industrial area of Dallas. And so while I was waiting for people to do what they were going to do, I went into this very small little Mexican restaurant. And they have a window about like that, and that's where you get your food and where you pay and all that. So this lady came up there. Now, I want you to listen close. She had one of these things on her arm for carpal tunnel. And so I went up there. I said, do you believe that God will heal your hand? And she said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe in Jesus? I like to say Jesus rather than God, because there's all kinds of gods you can believe in.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that's a problem I have with our In God We Trust, you know, which God. But nonetheless. So I used a prayer of agreement, and so that ended. I had my food and I left. And I came back a couple of days later. What do you think I found? There was no change. None. She still had the thing on there. So I said, oh, yes, I knew better. So this time I said, young lady, she's about 50, my estimation. I said, do you have a problem with a man in your life? Now, she didn't have a wedding ring on. And she said, yes, my father, it's so hard. I said, yeah, I bet it is. So, but let me ask you this. Is what he did to you any worse than what we did to Jesus? And she said, no. I said, well, we're going to pray again, and this time God's going to heal you. So we said the same prayer of agreement. And then I said, okay, now let's, and I reached up and kind of took the device there. I said, now take this off. And eyes got big and she's looking at me. I can tell she wasn't too enthused about that. So she took it off. I said, so now you're healed. So squeeze your arm. And she did. Eyes got big and she was healed.
Amen. Yeah. You got to mix actions with that faith, right? Who else? Anybody else got? Come on up here. Come on up here and give you. Praise the Lord. Come on. We're on a roll now. Praise the Lord. We want to know what God is doing in your life.
My name's Mike. Mike Loya, and that's my wife, Lynn, back there. And several months ago, we moved to Justin, Texas. And I was just driving up and down 165, and for some reason, my truck started wanted to turn to the left, and it was really, every once in a while when I was driving by, and all of a sudden, I pulled into Auto Revival, and it was just amazing. And I met Gracie there, and then I got to meet Mike, and then we started talking about churches, and then I was looking for a church. We were looking for a church to go to, and then she mentioned in a very nice way about this church, and it was just amazing. But it was just like the good Lord was turning that wheel to the left. And I want to let you all know that Pastor Thurman's my third cowboy pastor. I've got a cowboy pastor in Bakersfield, California, and I have one down in Leander. And I want to tell you about a decade and a half ago, I had an unbelievable perplexity for imbibing some pretty hard liquor, and it was causing a lot of trouble. And I had a lot of friends that were in trouble too, and I just had to do something about it. And I had stopped drinking, and then all of a sudden I started drinking again, and there was just something that compelled me, and I called up my pastor John, and I said, "Listen, that's it. I'm giving this to the Lord." And I got in my truck, and I drove down, and in the parking lot of the church, right there, we had what I call the parking lot prayer, and I just turned it over to the Lord. And my old golf buddies would ask me, "Mike, did you have any DTs or anything?" I said, "No, I just gave it all to the Lord, and that's it." And that's been about a decade and a half ago. And to this day, I don't even think about it anymore, and it's to His glory. And it's just amazing what He's doing. But what I wanted to really bring up right now is that it's official. And yesterday, we had the Marine League boys, and we had the assistant DA from Denton, and he's also the judge advocate. We got together, and my wife and I, we launched Ramps for Vets, and we started that in New Mexico, and we're doing our first one for a disabled Marine veteran that desperately needs a ramp, and we're just going to move this on, and we're going to want to do a bunch of these all over the place and help these veterans because they desperately need that. And I'm just really compelled, and I thank the good Lord for bringing us here, and I just wanted to share that and how wonderful He's been, and it's just unbelievable. And I'm glad I have my third cowboy pastor.
Amen.
God bless.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anybody else? If you want to give a testimony.
I do.
Okay, come up here, girl. Praise the Lord. Praise Miss Paula. The last time she was here, she had a great testimony. See what she's got going on now.
I don't know who this is for. All I know is I was at home about 3 weeks ago, and the Lord told me to print out this to read to y'all. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. And so I'm going to read it out loud. I don't know who you are. When I get through, I'll tell you what the whole gist of it is. And I also said, Lord, lay it on pastor's heart to either call me out, just call me out to give my testimony again, or, you know, quicken my spirit when I'm supposed to give this, because I didn't want to give it until then. So this, I'm just going to read these. Y'all just please bear with me. Chronic pain, deep pain, all over pain, aching pain, radiating pain, shooting pain, tender pain, sleep disruptions, chronic fatigue, problems with memory and thinking clearly, problems with depression and anxiety, tender points in back of your head, area between the shoulders, front of the neck, top of the chest, outside of the elbows, top and side of the hips, inside of the knees, pelvic pain, chronic pelvic pain, dysfunction, aches that run, start in your back and run down your thighs, pain or cramps in the lower abdomen, pain during urination, pressure on the bladder, jaw pain, symptoms of a heart attack, lower back pain, frequent headaches, arthritis, muscle spasms, tingling, balance problems, irritable bowel syndrome, numbness, bloating, anxiety, sinus problems, tooth disorders, restless legs, tendonitis, that's ringing in the ears, rashes, sensitivity to temperatures drops, loud noises and bright lights, trouble remembering and concentrating. I mean, like I could read something and 5 minutes later, I wouldn't even know what you said to me. Nauseated and vomiting, restless leg syndrome, feeling of creepy crawly in your leg, sensitive to odors, to pressure changes, to night driving difficulty, night blindness, mold and yeast sensitivity, shortness of breath, earaches and itchy ears, light and broken sleep patterns, no sleep, twitching muscles, a sensation of falling in jerks that would wake you up if you fell asleep. Last page, guys. Let me see what I didn't already go over. Bruising and scarring easily, hair loss, and tissue overgrowth. Okay, I didn't even read them all. Those were my symptoms of fibromyalgia. It's what I lived with for almost 20 years. Every day, day in, day out, doctor after doctor, MRI after MRI, medicine after medicine. I can't even tell you the tears that I cried. Can't even tell you the loneliness I felt because no one can understand it. You can't get it unless you get it. So I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's somebody listening. All I know is the Lord said, print it out and read it. Because a lot of people don't know what fibromyalgia is. Well, this is what it is and then some. And you'll feel like you're absolutely losing your mind because no one will believe you. And it took me 3 years to get diagnosed. And I just started crying and hugged that doctor. He thought I was crazy, but that's okay. But anyway, the Lord has totally, completely, I get asked this even still to this day after that I've told them, at least once or twice a week, someone in my family or someone I know that has known me for years and years, Miss Betty, don't do it, has said, well, how you doing? I mean, how you feeling? You know, and I'm like, I'm feeling great. God healed me. I am healed. You know, and they look at me like, amen. Okay. But everything I named, and I'm not talking about in the just a softness or the just a little bit. This is 110% in my body every single day. And I had to work. I had to keep my job. I didn't miss work. I still had sick time left over at the end of the year because I always say God gave me the grit and my crawl to get through it. But thank God I don't have to have that anymore because amen. Jesus healed me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing Miss Paula. My goodness, she has a great testimony. I'm telling you, to be sick for 20 years. And, you know, the thing about it is people just don't believe God's word. You know, that's when they come back and keep asking, you know, or how you feel, how you feel. Well, they just can't grasp the fact that Jesus still heals today, but he does. Now, anybody else? We got anybody else? Okay, come on. If somebody, we got over here and over here both. So just come on. Praise the Lord. We'll let you give your testimony. We want to hear what you got to say. Praise the Lord.
So last Friday, the Lord just delivered me and lightened my heart in such a way that I'm just experiencing such great levels of freedom. And on Friday, I also had an opportunity to read what he gave me the Monday and Tuesday. Was I haven't been able to, I've done many things in my life, engineering and all that, but the only thing I ever saved were the poems that I'd written. And I have not been able to write anything since 1985. And on Monday and Tuesday, after this, he freed my heart, he gave me these words. And it was just this wonderful collaboration. I mean, I'm sitting there going, Lord, Holy Spirit, I said, he gives me these words and I write them and I'm crying. And I said, well, what about that? Would that go there? And he's like, okay, try that. I mean, it was just this for 2 days. And so it's a little long. And I'd like to read it.
Okay.
It's it can be a little intense and a little wonderful. And but he said that I'm to read it out loud and then give it to the world freely. And he said that it's going to bless those people that are working in deliverance. It's going to bless those people to give First Christians to see, give more and more compassion to people that are struggling with these things that only Jesus can take from them. And it's and so here we go.
Okay.
It's called, O Father of Mine. I searched my heart and I searched my mind. I searched all that I had and I spent all of my time. But I still didn't find that which was perfect and kind. Yes, I heard rumors of a man from a land gleaming in light. So I looked for him in the distance and hoped for his might. As I turned and lifted my gaze, a fog like a maze impeded my sight. The cruel without rule, the mayor of fright, they hit me and spit me, they fought me with smite. They tore at my head and left me for dead. No pity for me, they hated me red. Oh my, mistreated was I. Oh my, retreated had I. The winds of the night blew the land out of sight, so I gathered my things that consisted of rings. So heavy to bring with the sounds that they make, it rattles and stings and drags like a snake. Weary and tired with rest on my mind, I dusted the floor, yet more I would find. A rock is my pillow and chains is my cover, the spirit of death overhead in his hover. Shut out by a door, I still hope for more. With time keeping score and hope now a chore, I cried, oh, where is that rumor of that man wrapped in light? Oh, where is that rumor of that man in his might? My eyes now closing, my body in dust, my breathing now slowing, my singing in rust. Then, nearing the end, the distance did send sounds from afar, the sounds of shofar, proclaiming his glory. He's changing the story from one path a boss, now two paths a cross. A slave was I made, now his to repay. He gathered my body from dust as he must. He carried me safely to the shores of his trust. He cared for me dearly for as long as it took. Then when I was ready, my shoulder he shook. Slowly and gently his arms I awoke. A moment of glory, that man, my Savior, he spoke. Receive my love, you need not pretend. Receive my love, let it gently come in. Receive my love, the victor of sin. Receive my love without end. Oh my, in his light there am I. Oh my, in his light I am held high. I reached for his hand and together we planned. My son, what shall we make of the sands of the land? Shall we make worlds of glory or leave it a beach? Those things that are righteous and holy I'll teach. Again, the sea rolled in and attached to my feet. Our future awaited, his love not debated, but knowing the past, I chose poor patterns that clash. I turned back to the old, pulled by sin and its lure. He said, don't look away, not to the sea, not even once more. Hear me this moment, hear me with all, take back my hand, don't you be tall. Let us go now, let me show you your core, for there is more, much more we need to explore. We are here at your heart. Keep my hand, will not part. We are here at the doors to your shores. Focus your eyes and look through the lock. Do you see those bad things living where heaven is sought? Invite me still deeper. Stay close, it's much steeper. You know I'm the one, for your deeds I have come. I'll push those things out through your soul and your flesh. I'll carry the load, you'll only confess. Forgive me, O Father, I wanted this not. Forgive me, O Father, from the hurt of the plot. O Father of mine, I cried in a weep, take those things, those ugly things, those things I can't keep. What are you doing? You're stretching my flesh. Give me a moment to rest. Trust me, my son, and all will be done. Light over darkness, and soon we'll be one. I breathed deep, and I cried, and I confessed what we eyed. Like bubbles through wax, my muscles tense and relax. Pain wrapped in his comfort did soften the blow. True to his promise, the pain started to go. Each time this would happen was like a wave on a crest. Again and again, I took a new breath for my chest. He showed me again the internals of sin. Release this once more. We're so near the end. Is it now over? How can this be? It's brighter and lighter. It's all that I see. There's peace in my being. There's joy in my grasp. I'm free from those bad things, those things he did cast. Oh my, the shackles are smashed. Oh my, I'm free from the past. Take me home, O Father, take me home, I wish. Take me home, O Father, I asked him with a kiss. Of course, my son, of course I agree. Come home now, son, come home to me.
Praise the Lord. Very good, very good. Praise the Lord. Wow, praise the Lord.
One last thing. Glory be to God.
All right. Who else? I thought I had somebody else standing up while ago. Who is it? Okay, if you need to give a testimony, come on up here. Come on, if we got somebody else. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Anybody's got a testimony today? We want to hear it. Praise the Lord. Okay?
Okay, I got a kind of funny one and a serious one.
Okay.
The serious one is in August and September, my mother, who will be 88 next month, had an episode and had to go to the hospital. And because I haven't been able to get to my family all the way yet, you know, I'm working on them. So she goes to the hospital, and so, of course, I said on Mark 11, 23, 24, that she wouldn't suffer, she would go easily, because she's always been very independent. She never wanted to be dependent, and that she wouldn't suffer at all, feel no pain. So the next day, my sister's with her the whole time, and she's an RN. And so the doctors come in, and they had done a test on my mom, and they said, well, Mrs. Keefe, do you realize you had a heart attack yesterday? And she said, well, I didn't have a heart attack. And he said, well, at 4:34 p.m., you had a mild heart attack. And my sister's like, well, I was with her. She didn't have any pain. So I told my mom, you're welcome. And she says, why? And I said, because I prayed to Jesus that you wouldn't feel any pain. And if you had a heart attack and you didn't feel it, then to me, you know, he answered my prayer.
Amen. Amen.
So then, my funny one is I have a friend, and your fruits, you know, bringing forth fruit. I've really been trying to get people to come to church. So I have this one friend, and she's a believer, but she's one of those people that believes you don't have to go to church. So one day she comes to my house, and she's 68, and she had got a washer and dryer, and it had been sitting in the truck of her landlord for like 5 days. And she was very frustrated. She was like, I want my washer and dryer hooked up. And I said, well, Darlene, I said, let's just stand in agreement. I said, do you think Jesus can get your washer and dryer hooked up? And she said, yes, I do. So I didn't get her phone call, and I wish I could play the message on my phone because it's so cute. But she called me up on her way home. I mean, as soon as she got home. And she says, Annie G, you just won't believe this. She goes, I got home, and my washer and dryer was installed in my house.
Oh, praise the Lord. Why do we wait till the end to pray? Why don't we pray up front? Come on. Amen. Come on up here and we'll hear your testimony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are great testimonies. Praise the Lord. Here. What's your testimony now?
On August 7th, I was told that I wouldn't have a place to live. And
you're going to have to sleep under a bridge?
I am. I was headed to Oregon to be with a friend. She said, come on up here and get you a job and you can have a place to live. And that day, God just gave me a house. I mean, he just gave me one. I was like, you're giving me a house? And he said, yes. And so I didn't have any furniture. I didn't have anything. And he gave me furniture. He's just worked everything out. He gave me bricks to fix up my house. He's just given me everything. I'm so excited about just knowing I'm loved and cared for. And I've been taught this all my life. I've known it. But I'm feeling it now. He's my husband. And he's just taking care of me. There's several times that I didn't even pray. It's just I had a desire, and he gave it to me. The next morning, it was like I'm just in awe of him right now.
Amen.
I'm just walking in. I'm singing Christmas songs. It is Christmas here.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing.
Amen. He is amazing. Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's not bad. You need a house, you pray, and God gives you a house. He said, hey, so come on up here, brother. Come on. I'm telling you, what can God do, folks?
Everything.
You mean he can even install a washer and dryer sitting on the front porch? Can't he do anything?
My name is Andrew Castro. Here about 3 weeks ago, I was nailing some siding on a house, and I had a nail gun in my hand. Finishing nail gun, and I was shooting this siding, and for some reason or other, the siding, nail went into the siding, but it came back out and stuck me in the finger, and I had it maybe about this far, maybe about 3 inches out on my finger, and the first thought that came to me says, cut both ends and run to the doctor. So I thought about that for a little while, and then I said, no. So I yanked it out, and I raised my finger up to heaven, and I said, Lord, you bore my sin. I mean, you bore my pain, Lord, and I have no pain, and I give you my pain in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I was able to, no pain, the blood stopped, and I had no pain.
Amen.
And it healed.
Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Stand on God's word. Man, I'm telling you, it works. It really does work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, brother, and tell us your testimony.
Praise be to God.
Amen. Good day today.
This is a long story. I mean, this is a long time story.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not a long story.
Okay.
But my father was married 5 times, and I was married 3 times. 3 times to women that I dearly loved, that I felt like the Lord had led me to. And then it didn't work out. And at this point, I have 2 children, and I said, I'm not going to put another woman through this, period. I don't know what's the matter with me, but I'm not ever doing this again. And on December 1st, my 4th bride and I will be married for 7 years, and it is fabulous.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God can fix anything, even a marriage. He can do anything. Okay, praise. Any others? We got another one. I mean, well, come on up here. If you got a testimony, just stand up and come up here. Absolutely.
My name is Jeanette, and I'm one of the professors at Christ for the Nation. I'm one of the vocal professors. And I got a student this year that came in and said, I'm not sure why I signed up for lessons. I had a drug overdose about 4 years ago. She wasn't trying to commit suicide yet, and she's probably about 22. In the drug overdose, it's left her almost completely deaf. And me, because I've taught voice for so many years, I said, no problem. I've had deaf students before. You got hearing aids. We can get this thing done. And at the same time, I'm such a person to believe in miracles, but it was like, I was really sort of operating out of my own strength. And so I actually recorded her about 3 weeks ago because I wanted her to see what she was doing right and what she was doing wrong. And it was pretty bad. It was bad. And 2 weeks ago, I listened to her and found the part of her voice that she could match pitch. And we've been singing every single week, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. And we just finished doing that a few minutes ago. Last week after I'd come, I picked up the CD, God's Power. I have always believed in miracles, and I've always known that God wanted to use me more. But after hearing that, I realized my greatest sin was unbelief, that I could pray for somebody else.
That's all of our greatest.
I could pray for somebody else, but I couldn't pray for me. And I've been a recipient of several incredible miracles, but I realized I'd hit a point when she came Monday. I grabbed the scripture of 2 or more gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of them, and that's my scripture. And I looked at her, and I said, Jennifer, I was at church yesterday, and if 2 or more gather in my name, we're grabbing that scripture, and we're praying it right now. We start praying, and we start crying, because she's believing for her healing. And I'm thinking, I'm supposed to teach her how to sing. And God's saying, no, you're supposed to teach her how to let me teach her to sing. So we go to the piano, we sing it in the key of G, and I said, let's just raise it. So we went to G sharp. I said, well, let's just raise it again. We go to A, because she's got a real narrow range. I said, let's just raise it again. We go to B flat. Let's raise it again. We go to B. Let's raise it again. We go to C. Let's raise it again. We go to C sharp. We go to D, and I said, whoa, that's enough. I can't take any more. We had raised that thing 5 things, and she had stayed in tune. I started crying. She started crying. I said, now go pick another song.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, these are great testimonies. Next, come on to somebody shaking a hand back there. Okay, we got one over here. Come over here. Praise the Lord. Yes, this is a great day of testimonies. Praise the Lord.
Hello, my name is Kay, and I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me when I was in line to vote. This was the second day of early voting, and there was a line kind of like at Six Flags that goes up and down and up and down and up and down, and it was in this main atrium type thing, and so that took me an hour to get past there into the inside thing. And then I found out, oh, there's another one just like that one inside. So I thought, okay, it's going to be another hour. And it was. But anyway, during this going up and down in the inside part, ready to vote where the voting machines were, I noticed this lady in front of me, and she looked like she didn't feel so good. And so when she got to the end of one line, there was a couple of chairs by the wall, and she sat down in one of them, and thank goodness one of the people that were working there came up and asked her if she was okay, and she said, I'm dizzy, and so she looked like she was like ready to pass out or something. So the lady goes, do you have a trash can? And she said, what do you need a trash can for? She said, I feel sick. And so this lady left to go try to find her trash can, she asked for a bag. I'm sorry, she asked for a plastic bag. So the lady came back with a trash can, but in between times, I happened to have a plastic bag in my purse. I mean, I have just about everything in my purse. But so I pulled it out, and I gave her the bag, and she was very grateful. And then, of course, all eyes were kind of on her. People were, you know, watching her and paying attention to her. And then within just a few minutes, she, like, went into this, like, mini stroke. And it's the first time I've ever witnessed one of those. But her head kind of went back, and she, her hands went up, and she was shaking, and it was scary. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And I was thinking, you know, your mind's going 100 miles an hour, and I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if somebody's going to call 911. And then I thought, oh, I couldn't afford 911. She probably can't either. That's not a good idea. And then I thought, oh, somebody needs to pray. And then I'm thinking, oh, that would be me. I mean,
praise the Lord.
For those of you that are old enough to know who Barney Fife is on Andy of May, I felt like Barney Fife, you know. So I started praying. I mean, kind of under my breath, but I was just constantly praying. And would you believe, of course you would believe, of course you would believe, that this lady, somebody gave her another chair, and she got up. And she put her purse in the chair and kind of used it like a walker and was kind of rolling it along or shoving it along on the floor because it was like a wood floor, slid easily. And then she was moving up, and then the election people came over and got her and walked her up to sign in. And she moved her little chair right on over to the voting booth and voted and walked out of there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I love that when she said, I need somebody to pray. Oh, that would be me. That's where we all need to be. We need to know that when it's time to pray, and it's always time to pray, that would be me. Now, who else? Man, these are great. You got another one. Man, I'm like, come on up here. Somebody got another one. I'm okay, come on. Praise the Lord.
Hey, I want it. Semi-good. Praise reports are good, right?
Absolutely.
Hello. Oh, that works. Hi, I'm Nate. Yeah, I was at Sukkot 2 weeks ago, and there was a Jewish couple there from New York, you know, visiting, and they're just starting to believe in Messiah, which is an awesome... if Yeshua is the Messiah, obviously, was what they were starting to believe. But they're wanting to start up their own synagogue in New York for just that purpose, to draw people towards Messiah and, you know, other great aspects of our walk. And they didn't, the guy was talking to me, and he told me that he didn't have the funding to do it, but he really wanted to do it, and that God would have to help him provide. And I was like, well, what do you need? And he said, a Torah scroll. And that's what every synagogue pretty much always needs. And those are really expensive things to get. So I prayed for him, and I was like, well, God's just going to give you one, you know, because it's pray big, right? I mean, go big or go home. And I didn't have to go home that week, so I prayed big. So we prayed for the Torah scroll, and then they went back to New York, and I went home. But they texted me on the following Friday night telling me that somebody had gifted them a free Torah scroll.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, fantastic. All right. Gracie, come on up here. My goodness, this is a great testimony day today. Aren't you loving these testimonies?
Yeah.
Get yours ready.
Okay. The Lord just put on my heart. It was a few weeks ago. We have a little restaurant that Mike and I go to breakfast on the weekends sometimes. And, you know, we get to see people and pray for people, but God just put this one on my heart. Our little waitress was pregnant. She's having her second. And she's, you know, just kind of, so we see her every couple of weeks or week, and she's getting bigger and bigger. And finally one day I said, well, how you doing? She's like, oh, my back is really hurting. So she's kind of coming and going, and I thought, she said, but, you know, it's just expected. You know, I'm getting this big. It's just expected. And then I see her at somebody else's table, and she's doing the same thing. It's just expected at this point in my pregnancy. She's just expecting to have this pain. She comes back over before we check out, and I said, give me your hand. I know she's Christian. We've talked to her. And I said, give me your hand. We're going to pray for you about your back pain. And she said, okay. So she put her hand down there. We held hands. We prayed. And we told her bye, and then she ran off to the bathroom, didn't see her again. Come back the next week, she said, I told my husband as soon as I went in the bathroom, she tells me the next week, she goes, that back pain quit. I didn't believe it. So praise
that's
the
what's
Lord.
Wrong with us,
and
right?
And then she said, I told my husband all about it, but that's yeah. what was on my heart is don't put up with any pain that you think is expected, or don't put up with stuff that we think is expected.
Amen.
Because it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. Amen. Did Jesus bear our pain?
Yes, he did.
Did he bear our sin?
Yes.
Did he bear everything?
Yes, sir.
What Dave just told us a few
yes,
minutes
sir.
Ago? So you've learned that, haven't
yes,
you, Gracie?
Sir. He took it off.
And to correct that, all you got to do is pray.
Pray and believe.
Pray and believe. And even sometimes the one you pray for, they don't believe.
They don't believe, but we believe.
We believe. Okay, praise the Lord. Who's next? Come on, who's next? Praise the Lord. We got another one here. Come on, come on. Come on up here. Let's hear your testimony. Praise the Lord. We're on a testimony roll today. All right. Tell us what's going on in your life.
Yesterday, we were wanting to have family time, and we were driving around, and we went to the park, then we went to eat somewhere, and then we went to the shop, and when I went back in the car, I had a blistering headache. I couldn't even walk, and it was just terrible, and my mom said, do you want to pray? And I said, yes. And we used Matthew 18:19, and then we praised him, and by the time I got home, it felt better.
Praise the Lord! You notice these children are learning the Word. They're telling you what Scripture they stand on. Matthew 18:19 is a wonderful Scripture, is it not? Yes, we all need to know that. Okay, who's next? Let's just praise the Lord. We got another one. Cheryl's got one now. Okay, praise the Lord.
Yeah, we answer emails at night, and we've had this man that's been writing us probably a couple of months, and I don't even know where he's from, but he's been depressed, and he suffered with depression for like 20 years or something, and his life is just awful. And so we're writing back and forth. He's telling me what to say, and you know, he doesn't love himself, and he doesn't know he is and who he is in Christ. And we send him links to, you know, learn to love yourself. God commands it. We send links to what was the other one we sent him? Oh, who you are in Christ.
Yeah,
we send
yeah.
him that. So we're sending him these links to listen to, and he's just saying, but he's just going to have to suffer with this disease. He's just going to have to suffer. So I wrote the last time, I said, please call the ministry center and give the times and the days and for prayer, you know, because if you're not getting through on the emails, if we're not hitting it out, you know, you need to talk to somebody. So he called this past week and he talked to Jenny. And so then I get an email back and he says, I am healed. I am completely healed. All the suffering went away. I feel like a new man. And just everything in my life has changed. She had sent him some prayers, some warfare prayers, and he had started in the statements of the believer, and he started just quoting those and warring against the enemy, and he got healed.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Anybody else? Have you got another one back here? Anybody hold her hand up or stand up or whatever? I don't want to miss nobody. Okay. Praise the Lord. Come up here. Praise God. It's a great testimony yeah. day, huh?
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I was sharing this earlier with the praise group that as a near-death survivor, I started studying about other people who had died, and I got to meet this guy, and he said that he was working on an oil derrick, and he slipped and fell, and about 80 feet, something like that.
Wow.
And at first it mangled him, and they took him to the ER, and then while he was there, he died. And the pastor and his wife came there, and they're praying, and he's saying, well, he looks at the wife, and says, now, what do you want us to pray for? He said, well, I got three little kids. I want him back. And she said, okay, let's start praying. And so they start praying, Lord Jesus, send him, Father, in Jesus' name, send him back. Meanwhile, in heaven, he's walking along with these two angels going up there, and he sees the city, and the lead angel goes, "Whoa, hold it." He said, What did I do wrong? He said, "Oh, no, you're welcome here, trust me." He said, "But she's using that name. We got to send you back." Anyway, I thought that's cool.
Amen, amen, amen. Who else? Do I have anybody else? Wow, I don't want to miss anybody. I mean, this is a great set of testimonies today. Okay, is that the last one? Okay, that's it. Okay, I don't want to miss nobody. Okay, we're all done. Okay, I just don't want to miss anybody. Okay, let me put my microphone up here. Now then, I got one. Do y'all know I love my wife? Yeah. You know I like to give her big kisses? I'm going to give her the biggest kiss I ever give her. Oh, goodness, praise the Lord. Dean and his lovely wife went on a vacation, and they brought that back to me to give to you. Praise the Lord.
That might be the biggest. I bet it's the best.
Okay, so that's a big kiss, right? That's a big kiss. Dean and his wife said they went up to Kentucky or wherever it is. Where?
Pennsylvania.
But anyway, they went where the new ship is the
Noah's Ark
is being built. Yeah, and they got to go see that, and it is an absolute magnificent structure. I've invested a little in that thing myself. I've sent them a little money to help them build that thing. But I mean, you know, if everybody helps a little, you know, you can get something done. And so they have built this fantastic boat. I mean, I think, how would I like to think about having a 450-foot long ship sitting out there on the ground? 450 feet long. That's a big boat, but that's how big the Ark was. Now, from the engineering world, one of these days when I get there, after I've talked to Jesus a while, I'm going to go over and talk to Noah, and I'm going to ask him, how in the world did you swing them beams? How did you build that boat so big? I mean, and he'll probably tell me, "Oh, Thurman, the Lord didn't put in there, but he sent me all these big angels with all this fantastic equipment, and that's how I built the Ark." I mean, and so should we be surprised? I mean, could he do that? Sure. In fact, just think, the Lord said in His Word, if we only believed Him, you know, as I'm listening to y'all's testimonies today, the one thing that comes out of so many of you is unbelief. Just like Gracie said a while ago, she has belief now, but she used to not have, but now she does. And so when she prayed for that woman with her back problem and she got healed, that's the first words that come out of her mouth. I can't believe it. Now, is that wrong? It should be wrong. And why is it wrong? Because we're not teaching the people what's rightfully theirs. When Gracie and all the rest of y'all, I just happened to point her out. But as Gracie has, and Mike, of course, they together all the time. But when they found out who they were in Christ and what rightfully belongs to them, they know that when they pray for somebody, that God's promises are always yes and amen. So there's no sense, is there, Mike, for that little girl to suffer when your wife can pray the prayer of faith for her, knowing she's a daughter of the King, knowing the King's going to answer her prayer because she's a daughter of the King. And when you pray, you believed it was going to happen, didn't you, Gracie? Yeah, just like the time they prayed together when Mike had a back trouble. Mike had a back trouble. He's got a testimony like Paula's. Paula suffered for 20 years. Mike suffered for 20 years, I think, something like that. All those years till they finally found out what rightfully belonged to them. And when they finally found out what rightfully belonged to them, they stood on God's promises, and Paula got healed. Mike got healed. And all the rest of you that have had these wonderful promises get healed. Now, if Jesus can make a statement like He made in the Word, if you can believe, nothing shall be impossible with you. Did He say that? So you see why we have so many wonderful testimonies in this church? We got people that believe that they can do what God said they can do. Isn't that amazing? You know, I was talking to Tony a while ago about airplanes. And he told me back when he was in the Middle East, I guess over there in the Mediterranean world or wherever it was, about a couple of pilots that flew over a Russian ship and said they only flew over it 30 foot high. So the Russians had been giving them a little problem. So they just thought, well, they'll just do something funny. So these two jets, fighters, fly at almost the speed of sound or maybe just beyond the speed of sound. And just as they get to these Russian ships, they're only 50 feet off the deck and the ships are only 20 feet out of the water. So they're going Mach 1 at that speed, at the speed of sound. And then just as they get up there beside the ships, they go into full burner on their engines. Now, some of you don't know what a burner is, but let me tell you, it sounds like a bomb blows up and it dumps unmetered fuel right into the back of that airplane. And a blaze comes out of the back of that airplane like you ain't never seen when it goes into burner. And then you can pull that thing up and just blow the water and do everything. And this thing sounds like boys having fun, doesn't it? Is that what that says? And so I was asking Tony, I said, well, when you got out of the military, whenever they had that cutback, whenever they laid you off, I said, did you not want to get into the aviation world? He said, Thurman, after flying a fighter, there ain't nothing flying. You know, nothing is flying. You know, I mean, like I told you, he's probably got more hours upside down 50 feet above the Mediterranean Ocean than I got flying an airplane. Some of you wouldn't want him to go with you, but I think you wouldn't want to ride with him. But I think about the day that I told the story that when we first got the 421, when we went down to Paradise, and we were, was it Paradise or wherever that, no, it wasn't Paradise, another place, off down south of Dallas. Dave and me went down and we're practicing. You know, I'm trying to get really current on the 421. We go down there and we make some touch and goes, a nice little airport, nice airport, and nobody around, so it's a nice place to go fly when you're practicing. And so when we took off from there and we headed back toward Dallas, we went right on up to about 10,000. And that 421, beautiful twin engine, you can have so much fun flying that thing. And it's not like flying a 150 either. I'll tell you, it's a whole lot better, but it ain't nothing like flying a fighter like Tony flies or did fly. But we go up to 10,000 and I level off. And when I leveled it off at 10,000, I reached over and hit altitude hole. And when I did, I had a little glitch in a controller in the tail of the airplane, and the airplane went whoosh. I mean, it just nobody was expecting it. Dave was in the right seat. I was in the left seat. Little John standing, but right behind us, John, when he was about this big. And that airplane just went whoosh like that. And, of course, Dave said, Pastor, get it. And I said, I got it, Dave. I got it. No problem. So I grabbed the yoke and pushed it back over and leveled it out and got everything leveled off. Because that would have been nothing compared to what Tony and them does flying those fighters. Little John come running up there and he says, Papa T, do that again. That was fun. So see, Dave was over there all worried and little John wanted to do it again, you know. Is life fun? Life is fun. And when you know that you know that you know that you know Jesus, you know, you can ask him for anything and he will do it for you. Now then, before we get into the study of the scripture, I'm going to say something to you. First of all, we have a time in history right now that is the most awesome I've ever seen in 77 years. I've never seen what I'm seeing today. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable that we as the church have become so passive to what's going on that we don't even check, we don't know. You ask the average Christian who is in the office right below the president, and some of them don't even know who the president is. I have talked to people and they don't even know who the president is. Do you know who the vice president is? No, I don't know who he is. In fact, I talked to three black boys the other day and I was at a place and I said, well, boys, how has your president been doing? I said, y'all are a good Obama fan? Oh, yeah, Obama's our man. I said, you voted for him? Yes. I said, are you Christians? Yes. I said, okay. So I said, he's your man, huh? They said, yeah, he's a good president. I said, well, how about his vice president? How's he stacking up? Vice President? I don't even have a clue who the Vice President is. None of them knew who the Vice President of the United States was. They only knew Obama was the president because he was black. They were black. You know, it should not be that way. You know, you should never vote for somebody because they're white or black or brown or red or yellow, anything else. You ought to vote for people because you find somebody that believes in the principles of the kingdom of God. No matter what color he is, but we don't do that. When we don't vote, in other words, I had a lady that comes here regularly, drives a long way, comes here to come to church, and she called me the other day and wanted me to pray for some lady, for somebody else that they would vote for Hillary. And I told the lady, I said, ma'am, I ain't going to vote for Hillary. I'm going to vote for Trump. She said, but Thurman, you can't. I said, ma'am, are you really a born-again Christian? Well, she said, you know I am. I said, well, I used to think you were, but now I ain't too sure. I said, you know, first of all, you have got to vote the Bible. I said, do you not know that the Democratic Party does not believe in God? They're atheistic in their makeup. She said, no, they're not atheistic. I said, I have heard Hillary Clinton say myself. Now, anybody else heard her say, Miss Jackie, that you have heard her say that she does not want anything to do with religion, and she wants as far as religion as she possibly can get. Now, let me tell you, I don't care if that woman was red, yellow, black, or purple. I don't care what. As soon as she says she wants nothing to do with God, that automatically eliminates her from the church. There should not be one single person in the church vote for anybody that's not Christian. Well, the other day it sealed it for me whenever I heard the closing remarks of the presidential campaign when Trump was asked a question. What will you do with abortion? He said, I will. And he's the first man in 15 or 20 years I've heard say this. He said, I will do everything I can to make sure Roe v. Wade is reversed. I will do everything I can. He said, I will do everything I can to see that abortion is finished. There'll be no more abortions. I thought, you know, from right there, I don't need to hear anything else. Right there will seal my vote for that man forever. Amen. As long as he'll stand. Because those are principles. God said in his word, there are seven things I hate. And one of them is lying. And one of them is those that shed innocent blood. Well, let me tell you, when you look at the Democratic Party today, I don't know what I could do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I wish there was some way. Of course, nobody would believe you anyway. You know, we do have people that are on the TV that are telling the truth about what is going on in Washington. And people don't believe it. You know, they just don't believe it. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you that this next week, I'm sure that many of you have voted already. And I hope most of you, because Cheryl and I voted the first day. I mean, that you could go down. We went down there and voted the very first day. But I'm praying and asking the Lord, and I've seen more on TBN and Daystar this time with pastors that are standing on the promises of God than I have ever seen in Christian television's history. But I think it's time. I think God is trying to wake us up. I think that he's trying to get our attention. He needs to get our attention. We need to know that we are sons and daughters of God, and that the scripture says that everything, every idle word that you speak, you will be judged by that word. That's scary. And we wonder why in the church we got so much sin, we've got so much sickness, we got so many people hurting. That list that Paula read there a while ago, that was her list. She hurt like that all the time. But she didn't really fully understand the principles of the kingdom, what Jesus done for her, until she came to this church. When she came here and began to hear and understand what God's word really said, and she began to make changes, and she began to stand on God's promises, this woman got healed of a 20-year problem. And she's, just like she said today, she said, it's so wonderful to be healed. Well, that's what God, that's what he sent Jesus to die for, Paula. Yeah. Jesus died so you don't have to live in that pain. But he died for that so you don't have to sin too.
Absolutely.
You know? And then when we think about all these people, the other day I was at the airport, I had a picture of Jenna. And there was a lady that she sat down, Dave was sitting right over here on the end and I'm sitting right here. She come up and said, sir, can I sit next to you? And I said, well, of course, ma'am, you can sit right there. And she says, I hate to ask you this, but she said, I'm having a bladder problem. Would you watch my bag while I go to the bathroom? I said, you don't have a bomb in that suitcase, do you? She kind of laughed and says, no. I said, well, I didn't think so. You don't look like a terrorist. She looks like a Christian female, an older Christian female. I said, so no problem. So she goes to the bathroom, she comes back, and she sits down. And she's sitting there, and she doesn't say anything. She's just sitting there, and I says, well, ma'am, you said you had a bladder problem. I said, what have you done about it? She said, well, I'm thinking about going to the doctor and having some tests run. I said, are you a Christian? Well, yes. I said, have you prayed about it yet? And guess what her answer was?
No.
No. No. No. Does that sound like some of us? No, I have not prayed about it. Well, what did God tell us as his children to pray over?
Everything.
With?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. And he answers prayer, doesn't he?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, doesn't he? Franz said that like he meant that, you know that? So anyway, I told her, I said, well, you know, I'd love to pray for you. She said, why would you love to pray for me? I said, well, God does miracles and healings when I pray for people. You have really seen God answer a prayer? Now, I mean, did you know, Gracie, that's the way most of the world is that calls themselves Christians, right?
Yes.
You used to be like that, right? But not anymore, thank God. So anyway, I said, yes, ma'am, I've seen the Lord answer lots of prayers. I mean, just awesome, awesome numbers of prayers. And I said, let me show you a picture of this little girl that we prayed for, and she got healed. And I pulled out a picture of Jenna, and I showed her the first two pictures, and when she looked, she said, oh, my gosh, what happened? Did somebody beat that poor child? I said, no, ma'am. She said, what caused that child to be like that? I said, the sins of the mother. You think she believed that? The sins of the mother made this little girl like this? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I have never heard of such a thing. I said, well, I said, we prayed for her for a year and a half with no results. And after that, I finally got the mother and father to pray and ask the Lord what they did. And I said, the Lord told the mother that it was her lying and her deception to her husband that caused him to strike this child with this curse. And I said, that's all written in Deuteronomy 28. And she said, you mean you're telling me that God did this to this child? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't believe that. God's a loving God. Now, have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
He's a loving God. He would never hurt me. But he will. The scriptures clearly teaches you what he will do. So anyway, I told the lady, I said, you know, once we found the sin, and the lady repented to her husband and to God for the sin, I said, then we prayed the prayer of faith. And I said, within 2 weeks, this is what the little girl looked like. Now, this is what an answer to her. I said, look at her one more time. She looked at her and she said, she's awful. So I flipped that last page over and I said, look at that. She picked that up and she looked at that and she looked at me and she looked at that and she says, that's Photoshop. That's not real. That's Photoshop. That's not real. Now, if you've never seen a healing or a miracle in your life, it would be easy to say that, wouldn't it, Paula?
Yes, sir.
But when you've seen a healing, now, just a little bit later, I run into a beautiful little black girl. Color don't have nothing to do with it. It just happened to be. This is what happened. This day, this white woman did not believe God could heal. But this little black girl, she was the sweetest little thing. I mean, she was just glowing. And I was telling her, after we got on the airplane, and I'm talking to her, and I asked her if she'd ever seen God do a miracle. Oh, yes, I've seen Jesus do miracles. I thought, oh, this girl goes to church. I can tell you for sure. So anyway, I told her, said, well, let me show you this little girl I prayed for. And I showed her, oh my goodness. She said, what happened to that poor thing? And I told her. She said, I've heard of those curses and blessings. I said, they're really terrible, aren't they? I said, yes, ma'am, they are. And I said, but after we found the sin and the mother repented, then we prayed the prayer of faith for the baby. And I said, in 2 weeks, this is what she looked like. And I flipped open that last page and she looked at that and she said, wow, her face just glowed. She said, sir, that's my Jesus. Now, which one of those girls? One of those girls knew Jesus. They both said they knew Jesus, but the white woman didn't know Jesus very well. She had no idea who she was. But that little black girl, she'd had some experiences with God, and when she saw that, man, she just glowed, and I just stood there in awe. She said, that's my Jesus. I told her, I said, honey, that's my Jesus, too. He does those kind of things. Now then, I'm going to show you some things that, wow. You have another praise report? Wow, okay, tell it to me right quick, and then we'll do communion. I didn't realize that.
Go ahead and start doing communion.
Okay, y'all can go ahead and start passing out communion while Cheryl's reading these praise reports. Okay, wow. When you're having fun at church, this is the way church is supposed to be. And if we have fun, church, an hour goes by and we don't even know it. So praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord for all of y'all's testimonies today. You had some great ones.
Okay. Like I say, we get all kinds of emails at all hours. And this particular one, it came on November 3rd. And it was said, please pray for me. I woke up about, this girl, I know her. She's 21 years old. She said, I woke up about 5 this morning feeling sick. I'm throwing up, diarrhea, and just sick nonstop. I don't know if it's stomach big or food poison. I feel bad. What sin could cause this to come on me? Thank you. She's always asking me about sins, like her dog gets hurt or whatever, and I tell her what I think. So I wrote her back, and I said, rebellion, cussing your parents, not honoring your parents, please call the ministry center at such and such, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, for prayer. You need to deal with your sin. Blessings in Christ. Well, she writes back just a minute ago and says, praise report. I was very sick Thursday morning about 5 in the morning. I started throwing up and diarrhea. I felt horrible. Well, I sent you guys an email asking for prayer, and you guys told me to call, so I did. And Jennifer called me back, Miss Jenny, and we prayed, and I repented of all my sins of anger and disobedience of my parents and cussing. Minutes later, I started feeling better, and by the next day, I was totally back to normal. Thank you, Jesus. Wanted to share. Thanks, and God bless. Lindsay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is a great testimony day. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Does God say in His Word that children are supposed to honor your parents?
Yes.
Why did He say that? Did He say that children honor your parents so that it may go well with you? In other words, how many of us like being well? I like being well, so I'm going to honor my mom and dad, although they're both gone to heaven a long time ago. I still honor them. And then He says it will also bring forth a long life. So if you honor your parents, and it doesn't make any difference who you are, if you're a Christian, you know, that may work if you're not a Christian. I don't even know that. I never thought about that. But you take somebody probably that's not even a Christian, if they don't honor their parents, it may be that they may still be sick at times, and they may have problems with their long life. They may not have a long life at all. So I think that if it's written in God's Word, it's safe to honor what He said, don't you? So, wow. Oh, yeah, we have a healing school this Saturday.
At
1 o'clock. Yeah, 1 o'clock, we have a healing school. And I guess this is going to be the first time Dave's going to teach the whole first 2 hours all by himself. So this is his, he's learning. He's getting real good. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Do what? Oh, yeah, several times. Yeah, we've heard from Jeff several times. Yeah, he's doing good. He's having fun down there. And he's in Ecuador, and he's up in the mountains, 8,000 or 10,000 foot elevation where it's cold. And he's doing a lot of walking. He said he's never lost so much weight. Yeah, he's walking 8 or 10 miles every day. So that's good for him. You know, everybody needs to take good care of this temple. And so you can't ever tell what you might have to do. And all He does, if you can control your tongue. Wow. It's a while since we've had that many testimonies. We had a whole bunch of good testimonies today. Those were great. Y'all go out and do something for Jesus this week, and we'll have another bunch next week. If you do things for Jesus, you'll have testimonies. Right, Jack?
Yes, sir.
It can't fail.
Right.
Yeah. If you get out there and do something for Jesus, you pray for people. And when you pray for them, remit their sins, and then guarantee them that your God is going to heal them. Just like Gracie prayed for that young lady there with a back problem. Just think. Some of you girls have had those pains. Some of you, I think about that girl down in Arlington. I went down to pray for her mother, actually her sister. And while I was there, after it was over, she come over to me and she said, Pastor, I've never heard anybody talk about these promises that we can do this. I said, well, honey, it's in the Bible. She said, well, I know that. I go to church all the time, but I never heard anybody say we could use these promises and they work. I said, but they do. She said, well, obviously they do. So she said, I have a very personal problem. I said, what's that? She said, now, I know you won't make fun of me, but she said, you know, I'm a girl. I looked at her and I said, yes, ma'am, I can tell you're a girl. That, and you look like about a 21, 22, 23-year-old girl, woman, very beautiful, attractive lady. But she says, ever since I was 12 years old, when I start my period, I have pains, terrible pains. I said, well, do you know you're redeemed from the curse? She said, I'm what? I said, you're redeemed from the curse, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. I didn't know that. I said, well, you are. I want you to turn to Galatians 3, 13 and 14 and look and see where, by what Jesus did on the cross, Christ redeemed you from the curse, and you're not under that curse no more. So when you see that, she turned over there and she said, you know, Pastor, that's what that said. I said, but you notice he said you can receive the promises of the Lord by faith. You got to believe this stuff. Okay, I repent. I do believe it. I said, okay, now the curse is broken. I command the spirits that are causing your problem to leave you, go away, and to never come back again. And I said, I guarantee you my Jesus will deliver you, and I guarantee since he redeemed you from the curse, guarantee you'll never have another pain when you have a period unless you start confessing it again. She said, I will never say that again. I am redeemed from the curse. Well, about 6 or 8 months later, I was down there at their house again talking to her sister, which had the problem. She said, Thurman, I wasn't even a pastor back in those days. I was just a deacon in a Baptist church. She said, Thurman, I got to tell you something. She said, from the day you were here, she said, that day I was having a period that day and my cramps. And I'd been told, even by my mother, this is just something you just get used to it. It's just a way of life. No, it's not a way of life. Is it, Mike?
Not the right way.
Not the right way. We have the promises of God, and he paid the price for all that. So she said, I stood on that. You prayed for me that day. And she said, that day before you left, all my pain had went away. And I've been through at least a half a dozen cycles since then. And she said, I've not had a single problem of no kind with pain during my cycle. Is that the way it's supposed to be for a Christian woman? Should Christian women be able to have their normal cycle with no pain? Absolutely right. You know, God made your body. You have to have the cycles. That's why he made you. But you don't have to have them with pain. You know, so, but you're going to have them with pain if you don't stand on the promises of God. Right? But you got to know what belongs to you. Praise the Lord. Wow, today sure did go by in a hurry. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this group of people that you sent here and these testimonies that they had today, Lord. I praise you for those testimonies. I praise you for their healings. Lord, we know this is all about you. But Lord, when we learn to stand on you and your promises, we get to enjoy life in a whole different realm. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Thank you for healing everybody anybody that comes up today for healing. Lord, we ask you to move on their heart that they would forgive. That is the most important thing we do, is forgive one another. The scripture says, if we do not forgive, neither will he forgive us. So if you're not willing to forgive, you cannot be healed. You have to be willing to forgive everybody of everything, and then you will be healed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for revealing this to the folks that are here today that don't know that. And then as they go to a prayer team member for prayer, may you touch their hearts and heal them today. In Jesus' name, amen.